Hey everyone, thanks for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the place where Rick Warren brings you uplifting messages from God's Word every day to help you grow deeper in faith and live a life with purpose. Today we're continuing in a powerful series called Toolbox for Life. In this series, Rick teaches us four essential skills that you need to succeed wherever God has placed you. Whether it's at home, at work, at school, or in your community, these are tools that every follower of Jesus absolutely needs. And now here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called Knowing What Matters Most.
Now, one of the greatest weaknesses of our modern culture, there are many, but one of the greatest ones is short-term thinking. Our society has taught us that all that matters is here and now. That's all that matters. Tomorrow doesn't matter. Next year doesn't matter. 1,000 years from today doesn't matter. Eternity, heaven certainly doesn't matter. All that matters is here and now. Live for today. And what we're doing is we're giving our allegiance to things that won't last. Here's what the Bible says. The world and its desires will pass away. But those who do the will of God, what? Read it with me. Will live forever. So to live only for here and now is incredibly short-sighted. It's incredibly short-sighted. Now, when you are tempted, I don't care what temptation is bad for you. I don't care what's your weakness. When you're tempted, temptation is never just between right and wrong. Temptation is not just between good and bad. Temptation is not just between what's best and what's not best. Temptation is always a dilemma between now or later. Now or later. Am I going to do what God says and enjoy the benefits later, or am I going to do what I want and enjoy the benefits now? Every temptation really comes down to now or later. And it's true with my money. Am I going to spend it now or am I going to save it and enjoy it later? Invest it in heaven. But with my money, with my schedule, am I going to do what's easy for me to now or am I going to do the tough thing now and enjoy the benefit later? With my mouth, am I going to say what I really would like to say right now or am I going to hold it back and enjoy the benefit of it later? Temptation always between now and later. And so I have to ask the question, what's going to last the longest? 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this. We focus our attention, this is a key to success, not on what we can see around us, but what we cannot see with our eyes. For everything that we see, all the physical things on earth, is temporary. Everything that is seen is temporary. This building is temporary. It's not going to last forever. This table is not going to last forever. The things we see are temporary and will only last a short time, but what is unseen is eternal and will last forever. So the first question is, what's going to be the authority of my life? Me, the world, or God? That's pretty much it. Question number two, what's going to last the longest? I need to do less of my life and things that are short term and more of my life and things that are long term because God has long term plans for you for millions and millions and trillions of years. Third question that will determine your destiny. Will I choose what's easy or what's best? Oh, man. We face this every single day of our lives in 1,000 different ways. Will I choose what's easy or what's best? In other words, am I going to actually live what I claim to believe? Now, living by your values is called alignment. Living by your values is called integrity. Living by your values is called congruence. Now, this is redundant, but isn't it easier to do what's easy? Duh. That's why they call it easy. It's easier to do what's easy than to do what's right. And 1,000 times a day, I get a choice between what's easy and what's right. Okay? What's easy and what's best. When I do the right thing, that's called congruence. It's called alignment with what I say I believe. Now, why do I point this out? George Gallup did a survey of Americans, and he discovered the number one cause of stress in America. He said the number one cause of stress in America is what he called incongruent values or incongruent lifestyle. What does that mean? We're not living what we say we believe. We believe one thing and we act in another way. And he says, you weren't wired for that. Your body wasn't wired for it. And that's what makes you stressed out, nervous, under tension, because incongruent values, when we say we believe this and we act in a different way, it doesn't work. So I've got to figure out, will I choose what's easy or will I choose what's best? Now, I've asked Mike Brook, who's our college pastor, to come and talk about what that may mean in a practical way. Would you give a warm welcome to Pastor Mike? Hey, buddy.
Thanks, Pastor. So here's the question. Will I live what I claim to believe? Will we live what we claim to believe? Because you see, spiritual maturity is not about just what we know, but it's how quickly we change and react to the word of God. And so there's four areas in our life that we may need to change and make changes this week. And so you might write these down on your outline. The first one is, if I live what I claim to believe, that may mean changing what I watch and what I read. And here's the question, what are you filling your mind with? Are you filling your mind with what's right or with junk? The average person by the age of 65 has watched 9.5 years worth of television. Isn't that unbelievable? 9.5 years. I took one of the hours of those years and I watched this documentary, and it's called Super Size Me, and maybe you've seen it. And in this documentary, this man who's a healthy man takes 30 days and he eats nothing but McDonald's. Morning, noon, and night. He's only allowed to order off the McDonald's menu. And by the end of his time, by the end of the month, he was sick. He was overweight, had serious health issues. And he said, every day I just feel gross. And what he was trying to prove is that while fast food is easy, you can't live on fast food without there just being some serious repercussions to living on only fast food. And some of us in our lives, we wonder why we struggle in our relationship with Christ, but we've been filling our mind with nothing but junk food this whole time. In fact, in Psalm 119:37, it says, turn my eyes away from worthless things. God, would you focus my eyes on things that are important? And so here's the thing. Do your media habits represent what you say is important to you? Or let me put it this way. Do you fill your mind with as much scripture and as much truth as you do with Netflix and internet surfing? That's a good question to ask yourself. And if you'd say those are out of line, maybe it's time for a change. If we live what we claim to believe, the second change it might mean is that we need to change some friends. Do your friendships build you up, or are they pulling you away from Jesus? It might mean we need to make some changes. And here's the thing. It's important for us to have people that we're influencing, but you can't surround yourself with people that are far from God and expect to grow closer to God. As Pastor Rick always says, you can't soar with the eagles if you're going to run with the turkeys. But here's the thing. Who you run with dictates how you run the race. And many of us hope to run well in the race of life, but if you're surrounding yourself with people that don't do you any good, the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. It also says in Exodus 23:2, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. And if your friends are doing nothing but dragging you down, maybe it's time to make a change. The third area you might need to change is maybe living out what we believe means changing how I spend my money. And here's the question. Is most of your money spent on selfish things, or are you generous where you can be? You see, we might not be able to be generous in every area and every opportunity, but are you taking opportunities to be generous where you can? The Bible says, Jesus gives words saying, don't store up things on this earth. But he says in Matthew 6:19-20, don't store up treasures here on earth where they can erode away or maybe stolen. Store them in heaven where they will never lose their value. The only way to secure your money is by actually being generous with it and storing up the treasures in heaven and leaving a legacy. The fourth area that living what you believe might mean we have to change. It might mean changing how I treat other people. Might mean I have to change the way I treat other people. As Pastor Rick has said many times, the Bible tells us that we're to use things and love people. And when we confuse these last two areas, we end up using people to get things. And what I see in Jesus and what you see from Jesus in the Bible is if you want to be great, you need to become a servant. In fact, in one of his very last times, what he does in his last moments is he wraps a towel around his waist, gets down on his knees, and washes his disciples' feet. And he says things like, "No servant is greater than their master," demonstrating if I'm this great, you should be able to serve just as much as I did. And he even uses phrases like, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, then you're going to have to become a servant of all. Or phrases like, the first will be last, and the last will be first, showing greatness in the kingdom comes by how you serve and love others. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5:16, it says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view," saying this, the world's point of view is use people to get things. God's point of view is use things to love people. And so here it is. It's tough to do these things. It's not easy to accomplish all these things, to ask these questions, to make the changes. In fact, what's easy is to keep living in the moment, to keep doing what feels right now. A few years ago, I ran a marathon. It's the only time I've ran a marathon. And I made, if you don't know what a marathon is, it's 26.2 miles of running consecutively. And I made the decision to run a marathon while I was in my bedroom, in my bed, eating ice cream, watching Biggest Loser. I wish I was making that up. But I was watching the show and they made the contestants run a marathon. I went, I'm going to run a marathon this year. And so I gave myself 6 months to train. And I woke up the next morning, laced up my shoes and went, I'm going to run as far as I can until I'm tired. I made it maybe a mile. And I got to the mile and I was like, I only got to do this 26 more times to get to the end. I'm not doing well. But over the course of 6 months, I trained and ran every day. And I remember the night before the marathon, I was sitting with my wife and my brother, and they said, "Are you excited for the race tomorrow?" And I was like, "No. I'll be excited when I'm at the finish line and I'm done running tomorrow." And my brother said something that was so profound, and I don't think he knew how profound and how much this stuck out to me. But he said, "Mike, you've trained. Now sit back and enjoy the challenge and keep putting one foot in front of the other." And that's exactly what I did for the first 18 miles. And about mile 18, my hips started to hurt and I wanted so bad to stop. And I remember looking and going, at mile 19, I'm stopping and I'm going to stretch because that's just going to feel so good to stretch. And at mile 19, I'm looking ahead and I see a guy who stops and stretches. And I'm kind of drooling a little bit going, oh my gosh, that looks like that feels so good. That's exactly what I need right now when I get to that mile marker. And then he falls over. And he waves, and the medical team lifts him off. And I'm like, don't stop running. Just keep going. Just keep on going. And so I ran by it. No joke, in the remaining 8 miles I had, I saw 6 people drop off the race. The last one was at mile 25 with the finish line in view. And I remember thinking, please don't stop. And he stopped, and that was it. And here's the thing. Many of us in our race of life, in our journeys, we think it'll feel so good to just stop and stretch. You know what I need? I just need to stop and stretch my mind. I need a mental break, and so I'm going to escape. You know what I need? I just need to escape with some friends that aren't going to remind me. I just need to escape with my finances and be selfish. I can escape with the way I treat people. And here's the thing. I want you to run the race well. I want you to run the race in such a way that at the end, you hear from Jesus, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And here's how that happens. Some of you are going, these are four changes. They're not easy. And of course not. But we don't have to do this on our own. In fact, in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do everything God asks me to with the help of Christ, who gives me the strength and the power. Meaning, you're not running this race on your own. You don't have to do this on your own power. But we have the power of Jesus behind us. So Pastor Rick is going to come by and teach point four.
Great. Now, as Mike was saying, it's not easy to live for the truth. It's not easy to live for Christ. It's not easy to have good, godly values when everything in the world is the exact opposite. If it were easy to live for Christ, everybody would do it. There's a reason why everybody does not live for Christ. It's easier. It's easier to be self-centered. It's easier to go the way of the world. It's easier to swim with the fish instead of upstream. And so we come to the fourth question that will determine your destiny. Question number four, is it worth the price? Paul says in Corinthians, if all we have is here on earth, we Christians are most miserable of all. Why? Because it's not easy to live for Christ in a world that doesn't like Christ. And so the Bible tells us this question, is it worth it? Now, everything in life has a price tag. Everything in life has a price tag. Anytime you say yes to something, then you're saying no to something else. There's a price to be paid. I did this, so I didn't do that. There's a price to be paid in every area of life. Is the prize worth the price in following Christ, in doing the right thing, in doing the hard thing, not the easy thing, in living for long-term reward rather than short-term relief? Well, let me just close with a few verses. I'm just going to go right one right after another. Matthew 16, 26, Jesus says this. What profit is there if you gain the whole world and lose eternal life? What can be compared with the value of eternal life? That's a value statement right there. Look up here on the screen. Here's the same verse from the Message paraphrase. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself or your soul? What could you ever trade your soul for? Well, I tell you, people are trading their soul for a lot of things. They're trading it for sex. They're trading it for drugs. They're trading it for self-centeredness. They're trading it for materialism. A lot of people are trading their soul today. A lot of people are trading their soul. Is it worth it? Absolutely not. It's a poor investment. It's a dumb decision. It's a bad choice. Look at this next verse on the screen. Jesus said, the things that are considered of great value by people are worth nothing in God's sight. Question, do you want to live your life based on what people think's important, or do you want to live your life based on what God thinks important? Which of those two do you think is going to matter when you die and you go into eternity and spend trillions and trillions of years in eternity? Which is going to matter, people's opinion or what God has to say, God's truth? Let me give you one more. Look here on the screen. Mark 10, 31. Jesus said, many people who seem to be important now will be the least important in eternity. Now, I said earlier that every temptation is a choice between short-term relief and long-term reward. But it's also something else. Every temptation is always a choice between God or me. In every temptation, I am choosing either God or I'm choosing me. It's not just good and evil, right and wrong, better and best. It's a choice. Every temptation is a choice between what God has said to do or what I want to do, God or me. That is a fatal flaw, to choose what I want instead of what God wants. Now, some of you have been coming to Saddleback, and some of you are at the campuses, and you're watching this, and you've been thinking about becoming a Christian. You haven't become a Christian. You haven't stepped across the line. Maybe you come with your spouse or a boyfriend or girlfriend or a friend, and you haven't stepped across the line. as a pastor who loves you, I just need to be real honest with you. I need to be real honest with you before you make the decision to give your life to Jesus Christ. You cannot follow Christ without a shift in your values. Sorry, you can't. You can't say, I'm going to follow Christ, and by the way, live like hell. I want to go to heaven, but I want to live like hell. I want to go to heaven, but I want to be the judge of my own life. I want to choose what I want to do. I'm going to listen to me, not what the Bible says. I want to do what the world says is important. And I'm going to spend most of my life trying to look good, trying to feel good, and try to have the goods. You can't. Don't even waste your effort. You can't. Following Christ requires something called repentance. Now, we don't understand that word because nobody uses it anymore. When people say the word repentance, they think of a guy on the street with a sandwich sign that says, turn or burn. You're going to die and fry while we go to the sky. It's like holding up a big sign, repent. Repentance is not a bad word. It actually simply means, it's the Greek word, metanoia, which means to change your mind. That's all it means. Repent means to change your mind. It means to say, I used to think this, but now I think this. I used to value this, but now I value this. I used to think this was important, but now I know this is what's really important. You can't follow Jesus without repenting. You can't follow Jesus without a change in your value system. I'll close with this verse from Paul, Philippians chapter 3. Paul says this, his personal story, his personal testimony. Paul says, you know, I once thought that all these things, the things in the world, what the world values, I once thought all these things were so very important, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done for me. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. That's a value statement. All the stuff the world thinks cool, it's garbage. It's not worth it. So that I may have him. Now, let me close by giving you a new definition of success. Definition of success. Not having the goods, looking good, and feeling good. Success is living by the values that God will reward someday. That is real success. Living my life by the values that God will reward someday. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep for that which he cannot lose. That'll determine your destiny. Let's bow for prayer. Possessions aren't going to last, so why spend your whole life trying to pile those up? Popularity isn't going to last. Prestige isn't going to last. Pleasure isn't going to last. Power isn't going to last. What is going to last is what God says. Let me pray for you, and then I want to ask you to pray with me. Lord, you know we've all been seduced by the values of today's culture. It's just hard to think clearly when we're constantly bombarded with false messages and catalogs and movies and songs and the internet. It's so easy to think that having the goods and looking good and feeling good is all that life's all about when that's just so peripheral. And Lord, it's really easy to assume that because we think or we feel something, that it must be the truth. Help us to realize that perceptions are wrong most of the time. And our feelings are often wrong too. Help us to trust in the truth of your word, not the feelings that we have. And I invite you to pray. I'll pray a prayer right now, and I invite you to follow me in this. Just say, Father, in your mind, say, Father, I want my life to count. I've wasted a lot, but I want the rest of my life to count. So I want to build my life on the values that are going to last for eternity. Forgive me for all the times I've thought something was true simply because I felt it or thought it. Help me to remember that my brain doesn't always tell me the truth. Today, I want to settle the issue of authority in my life. And I don't want it to be the world, and I don't want it to be my feelings. I want it to be your word. I want your truth, the rock of ages, the truth of all the ages, to be the final authority on my values of what matters and what doesn't. I don't want what culture says. I don't want what my friends say. I don't even want what I tell myself. I want your truth in your word to be my authority. And I want to choose long-term rewards over short-term relief. You know the urges in my life. You know the passions in my life. You know the desires in my life. I want my money and my time and my mouth to honor you. I want to use them in light of eternity. So Jesus Christ, today, you've said we can do all things through your strength. So give us the strength, give me the strength to choose what's best over what's easy. Even if that means changing some friends or changing what I watch or read, even if it means changing how I spend my money or even changing how I treat other people. Help me to know what matters most based on your word so that my life will matter for eternity. And I humbly ask this in your name. Amen.
What a fantastic message from Pastor Rick. You know, Daily Hope is changing lives every day. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Hi, everybody. You know, God often uses the hardship in our lives to prepare our hearts for his message that he wants to give us. And that's what a woman named Deanna believes happened when her world just collapsed all around her. Deanna wrote to me and saying this, "Pastor Rick, it's been on my heart to send you this thank you. I hit a very low valley in my life, and I finally figured I must be doing life wrong. I had lost my job, I lost my husband, and I almost died from birth complications. I went from a high-paying, high-profile, white-collar job to picking up cigarette butts and vacuuming construction job sites to support myself and my son as a single mom. But I started listening to your Daily Hope podcast on the way to work, and I later listened to all that I could during my time vacuuming and cleaning. One day, on my way to work, driving up a mountain road and going around a corner, I heard you give a call to anyone who had not yet given their life to Jesus. And you know what? I prayed with you that prayer. And Jesus has been in my heart ever since, and I am so grateful. It actually is bringing tears to my eyes. Deanna, did you know God created you just in order to love you? And he's so pleased to accept you into his forever family. In fact, the Bible says that the angels had a party in heaven when you opened your life to Christ and received him into your life. And guess what? I'm celebrating with them right now. Welcome. You're now my sister in the Lord, and I'll see you in heaven, if not sooner. Now, I want to thank all the rest of you who support Daily Hope, because it's because of your support that Deanna was able to hear the Daily Hope messages while driving in her car. You know, when we get to heaven, it's going to be really fun to meet all the people who are there because you helped share the gospel with people all around the world through Daily Hope. So thank you, friends.
We sure hope you've been encouraged by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. And if you have, would you consider supporting us? Just go to PastorRick.com. Again, that's PastorRick.com. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.